If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. And right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation, channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. WWE Hall of Famer Mark Henry and I break down everything from SummerSlam weekend, what took place at NXT TakeOver, especially the main event between Johnny Gargano and Adam Cole, and of course what took place at SummerSlam in Toronto. What was the match of the night? Do we have a new Universal Champion? Brock Lesnar going up against Seth Rollins. Becky Lynch and Natalya, did they steal the show? Kofi Kingston and Randy Orton. Everything that took place in Toronto, including our broadcast at the Rec Room. We do it right here on the Busted Open Podcast. We heard it at the Rec Room yesterday afternoon. We asked the crowd that came to our show, who are they rooting for, Brock or Seth? And we mentioned Seth Rollins. The whole Rec Room booed, and they cheered Brock. Now, it was a little bit more 50-50, I thought, in Toronto, though I would say the majority of the fans last night were booing Seth Rollins. Those boos turned to cheers by the end of that match because it wasn't so much about picking and choosing and who you're going with. That crowd last night bought into the story between Seth and Brock.
They did.
That was a story last night. And at the beginning of the story, you hated Seth Rollins. And by the end of that story, you loved Seth Rollins. And now you perceive Seth and Brock in completely different ways after that match. Brock is vulnerable. Now, Seth has beaten Brock two times. Two matches in a row. I understand the cash-in and everything else, but that was after a battle at Extreme Rules. WrestleMania 35 and what we saw at SummerSlam, Seth now took down that beast twice. He is truly the Beast Slayer, Seth Rollins, and he won over that crowd. And you know what? I never want to hear anyone say that Brock Lesnar is not good in the ring or Brock Lesnar is not a good wrestler.
He can't wrestle. He's a guy that can bully people, but he can't wrestle. You can put that shit to bed.
Yep.
Brock went out there and performed at the highest level and elevated the opponent like anybody that I've ever seen. I mean, you could put him up there with the greats because that was one of those matches where he helped catapult Seth into where he is today. And that is being not only being a champion, but how we perceive him as a guy that just double tough. I mean, you got broken ribs and coughing up blood 1 week, and then you go out there and you have a performance like you did. I mean, there was a point where Brock grabbed Seth and swung him around like he was a two-year-old child.
Yep.
By the tape. And you know how that tape had to dig into his body, supporting his weight and turning in the air, creating centrifugal force and doubling and tripling, quadrupling the pressure against his body. Like that it was, man, he survived something that a lot of people, I guarantee you, would have tapped out.
And Mark, I love what you just said about catapulted Seth Rollins, because you got to give credit to the WWE here. A lot of fans have been negative about Seth. We've seen it on social media. There's been a change. Now, if Seth would have lost that match last night, nothing would have changed. It probably would have gotten worse. And people would have booed Seth Rollins at the end of that matchup.
Even more.
Yep. But what they did is they said, this is the guy that we love. This is the guy that we feel could be champion, could be the face of this show. Putting a lot of confidence into Seth Rollins. And you know what? The proof is in the pudding. They proved that this is the guy to get behind. And they proved it in just that match. I mean, that is, again, the beauty of pro wrestling. Buying into the story. Buying into the competitive nature of what pro wrestling is. That's what those guys did between the ropes last night. And we're asking the question, which match was better? Technically, which match was better? I'll tell you what. I don't care what anybody says. That was one of the best stories that I've seen in pro wrestling in quite some time. And Brock and Seth proved how damn good each one of those guys are.
And you talk about the storytelling. The positioning of Brock putting himself in a position for Seth to have success is an art. You have to be able to really understand what it is you're trying to portray and relay to the fan base. And they did that last night at least several times. At least three times I can think of right off the top of my head where Brock put himself in a position for Seth to have success. And even with the dives and the catch, like that was one of my favorite spots in the match because it gave Seth a time to, you know, sell, but say, you know what, screw it. If I'm going to do it, I might as well go all out. And he went all out. He got caught. And it was one of those where Brock and Seth both had to sell. Like, that was the thing about it. Like, when was the last time we saw a match where Brock actually had the opportunity to sell at the same time that the person that he was beating up was selling? Not, it didn't happen. I mean, one time in the match with him and Daniel Bryan, but for the most part, three times or more in a match.
Yeah.
Like, it was a long match. Like, they really put in some time. And when you put in a lot of time and tell a story, you have to have multiple points.
And us being there, I don't know. I don't know exact time in the match. I'm going to look it up quick to see exactly how long that match was. 13 minutes and 25 seconds. For Brock Lesnar, that's a lengthy match. Because most of the time we look at him, you know, 6-7 minute match. For him to go about 14 minutes and tell that kind of story, and it was like you said, it was a wave. It went in waves. It went up and down. That was, again, I thought a beauty between Seth and Brock Lesnar. And this is where you also have to credit Paul Heyman, because Paul Heyman tells a story with his facial expressions outside that ring. And I can't wait to go back and watch this on TV, because being in the arena, as soon as that match was over, I looked at Paul Heyman. And you saw first the shock, then you saw the disappointment, and then you actually saw anger in Paul Heyman's. And within the matter of seconds, it went from those three emotions pretty quickly. That tells a story unto itself. And again, what's going to be the story coming out? What's the Brock Lesnar we're going to see on Raw or possibly SmackDown?
Dave, I don't know if it was anger. I think it was frustration. He wanted Brock to finish him. And there was a point where Brock was like, I'm going to play with my food. And that is what frustrated him. I don't know if it was anger. He didn't never at one point go, damn it, Brock, do it, finish him. He never got there because he knows that Brock can easily turn and go, what did you say? And that there's a fear surrounding Brock. And it translates to the crowd, even with his own manager.
Yeah, and again, just the way the crowd reacted and to turn that crowd, that's an art form to me, to be able to turn the crowd like they did last night.
Like that was what you call the work.
And I think now moving forward, the WWE Universe is going to look at Seth Rollins in a completely different way. Because all the doubts that the fans have had, all the doubts that I have had. Now, there's got to be the follow-up. I mean, what are we going to get from Seth Rollins on Raw? But I've always said on this show that he just didn't have it. He was missing something. This guy couldn't be the face. He set that foundation last night. We saw hints of it before, but I think he really set a strong foundation in what we saw last night. I'm very, very interested what the follow-up is going to be with Seth Rollins.
I think, and it's just my opinion, I want my champion to look smart. I want him not just to be an unbelievable talent, to be resilient. I want him to be smart. So tonight, you walk out, you hold the title over your head. I would not go out to that ring without a chair in my hand, a baseball bat, a sledgehammer, or something. Look, I'm holding this title over my head, and I'm keeping it. I earned it. I worked hard. I sacrificed for it. I'll be damned if I let Brock Lesnar come out here tonight and lay me to waste like he did the last 2 weeks before SummerSlam. He's got to do something like that to give himself that edge and make people go, oh, he ain't playing. Because that if you go out there unarmed, knowing that Brock could come out there anytime, then you're putting yourself at a deficit. And I want to see the guy be smarter than that.
You know what, Mark? I got to disagree with you here. Because I think that Seth proved last night he doesn't need the chair. He doesn't need to low blow. I think last night he proved that, you know what? I could do it my way, on my terms. I'm good enough to not need all that extra stuff. I'm good enough to beat Brock Lesnar anytime I want. Now, did I have to use a chair? Yes. Did I have to use a low blow to beat him? But he didn't need that last night. Seth Rollins beat Brock Lesnar last night. He proved a lot to me.
He did. I mean, he definitely did. And I can see what you're saying, but I also look at it from a different standpoint. He's not 100%. And, you know, we joked and in jest with Dolph Ziggler and Goldberg, and he's like, oh, it's, you know, any man could beat somebody twice, you know. Like, but I think that in a real form, like, he didn't get lucky either time. It wasn't by accident that he beat Brock. But did he do it the smartest way? No, he did it off sweat and toughness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes you just got to be more cunning and more smart. And figure that stuff out.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation, channel 156, or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
You know, we talk about these NXT takeovers and how strong they are. Mark, you said it to me right after the show on Saturday. Man, that main roster's got to up their game because that was one hell of a show we saw from that NXT roster on Saturday.
Dave, I left there Saturday night after the main event thinking, oh, my God, this was great. And then I went, oh, my God, SummerSlam has to live up to this.
Mm-hmm.
And it was – at first, it was kind of, I thought, wow, it's going to be hard. But then I said, you know what? I know what this company is, and I know what the roster is going to feel like. They did not want to come out of this weekend and people say, wow, NXT was better than the main roster. And everybody stepped up. There was not one match that didn't step up and do the best that they could do we were the spot that they were in.
If you had to choose, which show do you think was the best of the weekend?
I think overall, the main roster show, SummerSlam, was the best. But there were two matches that could have been on the main pay-per-view. And the main event, Johnny and Adam Cole, like, that match holds up against any match on any show, on any promotion, any pay-per-view that I've seen this year. You tell me a match that you could just say, you know what? That's so much better than this. I can't find one that's like head and shoulders above that match. That match was great.
It really was.
And Brock and Seth last night was a great match.
Awesome. And awesome.
I had to, in the poll, I had to give it to Seth and Brock because mm-hmm. of all the implications and not just the implications, but the finish and the story that they told. But as far as the work rate and the endurance, I would have to say Johnny and Cole. That match was, they were equally as good. And if it was 50-50, I would be like, okay, I get it.
Yeah. I would probably, for me, I would say that Cole and Gargano were was the match of the weekend for me. And as far as the best show, I'd probably have to give it to SummerSlam. And that's not taking anything away from NXT TakeOver, because I thought both shows were phenomenal. And you know what, too, that I liked about SummerSlam? And it may sound something small. It may sound a little bit different. But I'm glad that the show was over by 10:30 Eastern time last night.
Yeah.
I like the fact that we didn't get that show that went after 11 and we're kind of looking at our watches saying, all right, when are we going to wrap this up? I kind of like the fact that, you know, you left that arena wanting more. And I felt the same way after NXT. When that show was over, I was like, man, I want more wrestling. And I felt the same way after SummerSlam. That's how you want to leave a show. You don't want to leave a show tired and say, all right, I'm exhausted, I've had enough. Or you're getting close to the main event and you're saying, all right, when are we going to wrap this up? Like, I got to be honest, I felt that way during WrestleMania 35. I did not feel that way when it came to SummerSlam. Home run for the WWE this entire weekend.
Oh, not just a home run. This is one of those, goes back to the days where they were hitting balls out like hotcakes.
Yeah.
I mean, this was Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, part two weekend.
This ball fell in the parking lot.
Oh, my God, yeah, it hit somebody's windshield is cracked.
Yeah.
This cracked the windshield, Dave.
And you know what? You look at the cards, both top to bottom, but, like, look at NXT. What we saw in that tag match between the Street Profits and Undisputed Era, fantastic. Io Shirai and Candice LeRae, tremendous. Velveteen Dream, Pete Dunne and Roderick Strong. Velveteen wow. Dream, superstar. I was saying that. I was sitting there with Alex, and I just said at the end of that matchup, man, Velveteen Dream, superstar. Superstar.
Superstar with a pompadour haircut.
Shayna Baszler, Mia Yim, a little underwhelming for me.
But the finish of that match, and that's the only thing that brother said earlier was the finish, that Shayna Baszler, she sold that arm. She told the story. The story was great.
Yep.
And she had the finisher with a submission, and that submission she used with her legs because she couldn't use her arm. And she got her in it but couldn't hold her. And that was impressive to be able to tell the story and get the submission in and you know, like, put him to sleep.
Now, this is just me as a viewer watching that match. Now, Mia Yim is somebody who has a tremendous story. NXT has done a great job telling you that story. Did you find that Mia Yim, and maybe even Shayna Baszler to a certain extent, were blown up early in that match? And do you think nerves may have gotten the best of Mia Yim on Saturday?
I think so. I think that, you know, it takes a while to get used to that pressure and that spot on the card, and everybody's not, you know, you got to have a referee that's in there sometimes telling you, hey, you might want to take a breath, breathe, you know, like that's what the veterans do.
Yeah.
You know, I've turned to Scott Armstrong before in the match, and he looked at me and said, breathe. And you go, oh, okay, good. And you hit that second win and you're fine. But, like, it takes, you know, a veteran to be able to know what it is it takes to be a champion. And these are young people still. Like, they have a lot of time to go.
Yep.
And I'm not going to rush them. I'm going to let them, you know, take their lumps and learn how to exist in the match and how to be able to evolve to being a main event caliber wrestler.
So this is interesting, Mark, because I'm glad you relayed that story. So there's been times where you're in the ring where, I guess, your thought process or nerves, where you don't have a breathing pattern going on in the ring. And I would think in any kind of athletic competition, breathing is key.
Oh, it is. I mean, that's something that, I mean, the old timers, like, you know, people will say, oh, a rest hold. There's no such thing as a rest hold. You're working constantly while you're out there. The hold is to establish that the heel is in control and allows the babyface to battle back from adversity. That it's no such thing as a rest hold. I mean, you look at Randy Orton. I don't know if I've seen anybody in the modern era of wrestling that would work a hold more than Randy Orton. And when you're in that and you come out of it, the crowd should be with the babyface. In those times, sometimes you get caught up in the work and you're not breathing. So you have to be able to, you know, at some point go, oh, man, take a deep breath and relax. And, you know, you hear mixed martial artists talk about being caught in a choke and relaxing and allowing yourself to wiggle out, because it's easier to fight your way out when you're relaxed and you can actually, you know, get a breath, than if you're tight and you're choking your own self as well as having somebody else choke you at the same time.
And I would think that's difficult to do because you got, like, you're in a panic situation. And maybe there was a time during that match that Mia Yim was in a panic situation just based by the nerves, 15,000 fans, that entrance that she had. You know, she probably felt a little bit of pressure as well, because now she's in, you know, one of the main events on a major takeover, a major show. That's a lot to ask from somebody that's never been in that position before.
It is. And I hope that she learns something from it and she'll be better next time.
Let's go out to Robbie in South Carolina. Robbie, what did you think of the shows this weekend?
First of all, I think that both was excellent. It's hard to call which one was better. I think it's a 50-50. Velveteen Dream, Pete Dunne, they're beasts. Love those guys. Only thing I can say is that no title changes on NXT threw me off a little bit. And I was a little disappointed that none of the hometown heroes won at SummerSlam. I was thinking it would have been great if they had like a moment like Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit, with Natty coming out with Trish, with them both winning the fireworks and confetti or whatnot. And then on a personal note, Mark, you're way better than me, because when I heard them the name of the donuts, the Glory Hole Donuts, I had to knock the day Satan face listening to the radio. And I'd have been like, hey, I'm allergic to coconut, but I appreciate the offer, and hey, guys, I don't want this to go to waste. I'm offering these off to you guys. But, again, both shows were phenomenal. Nothing really to complain about. But thank you, guys. Great show. Love you guys. I'll take your comments off here.
Thank you, Robbie.
Love you too, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, Robbie's a good caller and a Loyal Nation member. And I disagree with him. First of all, you did get, you know, a Canadian Canadian hero in Kevin Owens, you know, with that match with Shane McMahon. I mean, you know, the reaction after that match was tremendous. So you had a bit of a moment. I'm sorry, you can't have Trish beat Charlotte. You know, Trish is coming out of retirement. She's in that match. You know, I mean, obviously trying to defend her era in pro wrestling. You can't have Trish beat Charlotte Flair, somebody at the top of their game. You could not have that happen on Sunday, Mark, right?
No, you can't have Trish come in and put a loss on the best female wrestler.
Can't do it.
In the world today. I mean, let's give Trish some credit, though. Trish took some bumps in that match that I would not have done. I'm telling you, even in my prime, that match, that bump off the apron to the floor.
Yeah.
Shoot, man. That's a career ender. Like, I was so amazed that she was still able to do all the things that she was able to do in her career when she was in her prime. And Charlotte, is there any chance that we'll ever see anybody as good as her?
I don't know, man.
Man, when she just walk into the ring, she seems more graceful, more confident. And when she starts to work, you see Charlotte build. Her matches build. And there's never a stagnant point in a match. And just like Randy Orton, from a female perspective, she's the best at working holes in the business. There's nobody that can touch her. And she needed to get that win, because there was times this year where I thought that Charlotte was misused. I thought that
you said that before. Yep.
That she has had some underwhelming finishes. Always great matches. Never got the boo-boo face. She did business. And she deserves a lot of respect for that, because there's a lot of main event talent that will not take a back seat to everybody else because they just feel like they're getting lost in the sauce. She is so great that you can do whatever you want with her, and you can't. She's Teflon. You can't kill her. You can't touch her.
Because you know at some point she's going to be back on top again.
Yes. It's just like, do whatever you like. She's that good. And there's nobody else, male or female, that's remotely close to undamaging as Charlotte is.
I agree with you. And the perfect person to be in the ring with Trish last night.
Yes. I'm telling you. And everybody thought, like at the end of that match, that Trish was going to go over. Everybody did. And if anybody says, oh, it didn't look like it, they're lying. Because that thing, it looked like Trish was coming in. And when she hit Stratisfaction, I was like, oh, my gosh. And then Charlotte kicked out, and I was like, oh. Like, I mean, they got me. And there's been several times in the pay-per-view last night. Seth and Brock did it. Kofi and Randy did it, and it was not one of the matches that we thought was going to be the best match on the card. But you look at the Fiend and Finn, they did it.
Yep.
Every match had something, had a point where it looked like that person was going to go over, and they did.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
And even more than the win, Mark, I think what most impressed everybody in Toronto last night was that entrance by The Fiend, Bray Wyatt.
It was. It was like really, really unbelievable. And there were so many elements in that match that I thought was very positive. I thought at one point when Bray Wyatt had Finn sitting, it looked like he broke his neck. He grabbed him and turned his head, and I was like, wow. Like, that man, that was horrifying. But nothing as horrifying as seeing him walk down that ramp with a skull, with the eyes so shut and the mouth open with the lantern inside the head. Man. Like, it was hard to look at, but I had to do it. And I survived it. I did not have a nightmare last night. And I hope that I don't, but I was very excited to see how it was going to play out. And Bully Ray said, man, I don't want to see him walk down the ramp. I don't know if I want to see him have a match yet. I like the way they did it. I think that at some point they're going to have him like disappear like he disappeared at the end in the finish. Right in the middle of the match, because somebody's going to start handing it to him at some point, and he's going to have to be able to disappear and play ha-ha with people. Not ha-ha, but, you know, put the fear in them, the mind games to him.
Yeah, I mean, that entrance was phenomenal. You still got the fireflies like you did when it was just the Wyatt family. And like you said, that lantern with Bray Wyatt's head, you know, it's Bray Wyatt's head with the, like you said, the eyes sewn shut and the mouth wide open and the light coming out. I mean, I thought that was absolutely tremendous. The mask is phenomenal. And I think we all waited to see what he was going to be like in the ring. And he dominated Finn Balor. I mean, Finn Balor's a highly skilled competitor. He made short work from him. And like you said, he's in the middle of a ring. The lights go off. And then all of a sudden, you see him at the top of that entrance ramp. Very impressed from what we saw from Bray Wyatt, The Fiend, last night.
The Fiend. Man, just really, really good work. Solid work, too. And everybody was excited about it. And we got what we wanted. And that's usually a good sign when you start getting what you want as a fan. That means that they're listening.
And speaking of The Fiend, let's go out to Mark in Canada who wants to talk about Bray Wyatt. What's on your mind, Mark?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Good morning.
Good morning, Mark.
It's a pleasure to meet Mark Henry on the phone. It's awesome. Sexual Chocolate, great. Yeah, The Fiend was amazing. I thought that was unbelievable. I'm glad how we didn't have to see him walk out. They kept that aura of mystique and scariness, and just a big fan. I'm glad they didn't botch it at all, anything like that. And yeah, it was a great pay-per-view.
Yeah, and Mark, like, again, like, a lot of times as fans, we're looking for the bottom to fall, the other shoe to drop, whatever you want to say, whatever cliche you want to say. Sometimes as fans, relax and just watch the show play out. Don't expect the worst. Expect the best, and because that's what we got from the WWE this weekend. Let's go out to CB in Baltimore. CB, what did you want to say about this weekend?
Hey, good morning, guys. This pay-per-view redeemed my confidence back in WWE. I called last week and I said I wasn't that impressed with it. But after watching NXT, after watching the main event and everything last night, I think WWE is definitely going to go back to being to where they need to be, number one in the wrestling genre. So I have a question for Mark Henry or for either Dave. I'm ready to see people like Adam Cole and Velveteen Dream go to the main roster. I would love to see Velveteen Dream against Seth Rollins. Can I get some insight on that, guys? Thank you. I love you. You're the best.
Thanks,
CB. Appreciate you, man. I don't think so. I think that there are guys, and I mentioned this to Alex and Dave yesterday, I think that there's guys on Raw and SmackDown that need to go to NXT. They're finna launch on Fox Sports just in a few days. So, like, in that time, they need to establish not only the top of the card, but the middle of the card. And we need to make sure that that show succeeds at all costs. And it's going to be its own brand. It's not the third brand. It's not a developmental franchise anymore. NXT TakeOver is a legitimate, bona fide wrestling brand.
Mark, I couldn't say it better myself. This is another brand for the WWE. It's Raw, it's SmackDown, it's NXT. And if you're on FS1 and you're going to be live on FS1, I'm sorry. This isn't the show that's taped for an hour on the WWE network anymore. You can't look at this as a developmental association anymore. And Mark is 100% right. You got to make sure that that brand is stocked. So if I'm the WWE, why would I? You, Mark, this is where the discussion ends about, like, after pay-per-views and takeovers, right? Who's moving over to the main roster? All these shows are on the main roster now.
Yeah, they're all. And you can drop the NXT. NXT was kind of an abbreviation for next, like who's going to come in the future. Well, the hell with that. They're takeover now. They should drop the NXT, call the show takeover, and then go from there. And then, you know, we're not even talking about all the people that we didn't see. We didn't see Braun Strowman. We didn't see Drew McIntyre. Like, there was so many guys that we didn't see that we could have saw at this pay-per-view.
Think about it. You just mentioned Braun Strowman and Drew McIntyre, right? No Roman Reigns.
No Roman Reigns.
No Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
No Asuka. Like, they're major, major players. Think about it. Major, no Shinsuke Nakamura last night.
Oh, yeah, it could have been 6 or 8 people.
I mean, like, you could have built a pay-per-view just on the wrestlers that weren't on SummerSlam last night.
That's right. And a lot of spots are going to open up when they start this programming, and people need to stop looking at it as being the third brand, because there's really no one and two. We call it one and two because Raw came first. But there's no drop-off in the difference between Raw and SmackDown. The talent level is the same.
Yep.
And I think that right now, with the way the main event performed at TakeOver, that TakeOver is just as important as Raw or SmackDown. That's just, I mean, it's my opinion. And you can say different, but it don't mean that I'm going to listen.
No, Mark, you said it. Live on FS1 every Wednesday for 2 hours, you're going to need as many top stars as you possibly can have.
You're going to need at least 10 more people on that roster.
Yeah. So what Mark said at the beginning of his statement is absolutely true. Don't look at who's leaving NXT to go to Raw or SmackDown. You might be looking at who's going to leave Raw and SmackDown.
And go to NXT or go to TakeOver.
Whatever they call it.
Change the name. I don't care.
I agree with you, because when you think of NXT, you think of Next, and it's no longer Next. It's Now.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation, channel 156, or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
What a match. What a great way to send off Trish, already a WWE Hall of Famer. And again, as you said earlier, Mark, nobody does it better than Charlotte Flair.
Nobody does it better than Charlotte Flair, but Trish, like, if you didn't respect her, then you should now. Because you got to see somebody that's a Hall of Famer,
yep,
that's been retired, came back out of retirement, and put on a match that maybe only the top percent, maybe 2 or 3% of the women in wrestling today can hold a match with Charlotte Flair like that.
And Charlotte, what a great job. I mean, just phenomenal. There's nobody better to put in the ring with Trish, because Trish has been out. Let's face it. Trish is, you know, she's a Hall of Famer. Over 5 years ago, she became a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
You know, she's been gone from the ring for a while. You know, we saw her as part of Evolution, but this is completely different. To be in the ring, you know, with somebody like Charlotte Flair, and just phenomenal just to see what took place in that ring at SummerSlam. Very, very proud of what a Hall of Famer was able to do. And it's just great to see that match. And I thought a great showing by both Charlotte and Trish. And you look at the length of the match as well. Pretty lengthy match for somebody who hasn't been in the ring. Over 16 minutes, Trish was in the ring against Charlotte Flair last night.
And not one moment in that match was dull. Not one. They had everybody from beginning to end.
And think about it, Mark. You figure Trish hasn't been in. You don't know her conditioning. I know she has her yoga, but that doesn't mean your in-ring conditioning is going to be up to it. But she showed it. That could have easily been a 6 or 7 minute match, and nobody would have complained. The fact they put them in the ring for almost 17 minutes last night, and she held up in that ring. I mean, nothing but monster kudos to Trish Stratus, a legend, a Hall of Famer. And one day we're going to be saying the same thing about Charlotte Flair. We're going to be talking about her being a legend and a Hall of Famer as well. Let's go out to Jason in St. Louis. Jason, what did you want to say about this weekend?
Dave LaGreca, how are you, my friend? Mark Kennedy,
what's up, Jason? Jason, where the hell have you been?
Listen. You guys have gotten so popular, I try to call in all the time, and the damn phone line's busy constantly.
You know what? That's what happens when you're great.
I know. Well, you're not so great.
It popped me. popped me. Oh, that was great.
But what I want to talk about is, LaGreca, thanks to you, you've turned me on to so much other wrestling. I've been watching WWE since I've been a kid, and it just felt flat. But last night got me back into WWE. The storylines they all told, I mean, everything. It was just an amazing pay-per-view from top to bottom. The way that the story, it kept you on the edge of your seat the entire time. And LaGreca, my biggest complaint with you is, how can you now not say that Brock Lesnar is the best worker in the business and sells for anybody?
Whoa, 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 easy. Easy. I mean, he had a great performance last night.
He's great. Not the best.
He's one of the greatest wrestlers of this modern era. But, like, you know, there's some guys, man, you can't say that he's the best ever. Come on.
Well, he's not on the Mount Rushmore. But,
well, yeah, I mean, well, you just said how you said just it. Called me out, and you asked me, well, how can you not say he's not the best? And now, like, you're saying, like, well, now he's not the Mount Rushmore. I mean, he's amazing. Can't we just say he's amazing? He's not the best.
He is amazing. And
he's amazing.
He sells for anybody. And these people that want to complain and bitch about Brock Lesnar, he will sell for anybody. And he showed it last night, how he sold for Seth Rollins.
I agree. We agree.
He was selling for Seth Rollins.
Jason, let me ask you a question. Why does everything have to be a fight with you? Why can't you just call in and say, you know what, LaGreca, you told Brock and you said Mark and you had a great conversation about how Brock is great. I agree with you guys. Brock is amazing. He's great. Why does everything and every time you call in, you have to start a fight? No, he's
because
great. Well, LaGreca, why don't you say he's all? He's the best ever. I just said he was great.
There it is.
That should be good enough for you.
There it is. The LaGreca rant. Everybody loves the LaGreca rant. I know.
Everything's got to be a fight. Why can't we agree?
Are you married?
I am married, Mark. And
fight with your wife, then. Fight with your wife.
Happy wife, happy life. Dave.
That you know what?
LaGreca, or just like the beautiful Violetta.
Jason, you know what? There, I agree with you. Happy wife, happy life. You're 100% right. And Jason, I will agree with you on this, and thanks so much for the phone call because you're absolutely right. And that is that Brock is great. Brock is phenomenal for multiple reasons.
Well,
one,
AJ is phenomenal.
All right, I'll think of it.
Brock is damn good, though.
He is. On multiple levels, Mark, because in-ring, without question, he's a great wrestler.
Yes, sir. There's no weakness.
Phenomenal build, amazing shape, great conditioning, has a presence that few wrestlers in the WWE have. You look at him in awe. That's a guy you see and he screams pro wrestler, screams superstar. He gets mainstream attention. He's a mainstream superstar. You don't necessarily have to be a wrestling fan to know who Brock Lesnar is.
No, not at all.
And in that respect, I am glad that Brock Lesnar is sticking around. And now that he's no longer a quote-unquote part-timer, it's hard for me now to hate on Brock Lesnar.
You can't hate him.
Did we see him last night?
You gotta respect him.
Yep, we saw him last night. We saw him at the pay-per-view before that. We saw him at the pay-per-view before that one. Hard to complain about Brock Lesnar right now. Hard to complain.
And anybody that's complaining about Brock now, they're hating. It's not complaining, it's hating.
I agree with you. Let's go out to Dave in South Florida. Dave, what did you want to say about NXT, buddy?
Hey, what's up, guys? Great show, great show. I just got a question for you and Mark. Who was more over at the Rec Room? Was it Violetta or was it Hansy? Because Hansy, he loved you guys at that show yesterday.
What do you think, Mark? Who was more over at the Rec Room? Was it Violetta or was it Hansy?
Violetta, she got the chant.
Yeah, Violetta got a chant.
Hansy was waving his arms like, give me some love, and they said, oh, hey, Hansy.
But I will say this. Both Violetta and Hansy were posing for pictures. Like, there were people asking for pictures with Hansy.
Oh, yeah.
So Hansy was over last night, but I think Violetta was more over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, I just wanted to comment. I think that Leo, I know that Joe in North Carolina already stated it, that Leo Shirai, Candice LeRae matchup, I think, was one of the best, if not top two, in the whole weekend. Those girls are amazing. Shirai has amazing charisma and personality. And that moveset between both competitors, that just had me awestruck and blown away. Just your thoughts on that, guys?
Yeah, breakout performance from Candice, too. You know, really. I mean, they showed something. And now being up in front of 15,000 people. Now, as far as I know, when we see what you are calling takeover on FS1 starting in October, I don't think they're going to be each and every week at Full Sail. I think they're going to be at different locations. That's going to be really good to really kind of show off what that roster is like. I'm glad they're going to be at different locations, and I'm glad we have a quote-unquote third brand for the WWE. Let's go out to Jerry in Richmond. Jerry, what did you want to say about SummerSlam?
Hey, guys. I wanted to talk about wrestling in general this weekend, and I think my last thing is going to kind of maybe send you over to Edge, Dave. But number one, I think Dolph and Goldberg was great. Dolph just played his role and went. He got over. Like y'all were talking about people getting over earlier. He didn't go over, but he got over. He did what he's supposed to do. That was great. I think that there are better opportunities with the title on Brock than there are with the title on Seth. I'm kind of flat on Seth. I just don't know. I don't know why. I can't put my finger on it, but I am. Get ready for this one, Dave. You're putting over this Trish and Charlotte match, and to me, I think it was the drizzling shits. I feel that Trish showed her ring rust. Her timing was off. She was slow and out of place. Charlotte did not need that match. Charlotte has built her own legacy, her own brand. She didn't need a match with Trish. That, in my opinion, knocked Charlotte down to a lower level.
Well, I mean, Jerry, thanks for the phone call. I'm not going to go nuts on your call because there's a couple of things I agree with, but I definitely disagree with what you said about Trish and Charlotte. First of all, I didn't look at this match, Mark, as like, oh, this is a way to get Charlotte to the next level. Charlotte's already at the ultimate level. I don't think Charlotte needs anybody or any kind of rub to get over. She's already there. I think this was, like Bully said earlier last week, a special attraction match. This was just kind of like a cool match at SummerSlam, a good way to send off Trish in front of that hometown Toronto crowd. And I'll go back and watch it on TV, but being there live, I didn't think at all that Trish was slow. I didn't see many missed spots.
No.
Now, I got to go back and watch it on TV. But I think it's kind of strong to call it the drizzling shits. That's strong to say something.
Nothing that was the drizzling shits this weekend.
No,
not one match, not open, not promo in the back that they showed on. There was nothing that was below board. Not one thing. That's when you're starting to shoot your mouth off.
And you want to know something? You also have to go by crowd reaction. If a match is that bad, you're going to hear boring chants or boos. As a matter of fact, during that match, we heard "This is awesome" chants from that crowd in Toronto. So that match was by far not even close to the drizzling.
Yeah, you
chants.
Can't have a "This is awesome" chant in a match that's the drizzling shit.
Yeah.
You can't; those don't even go together.
And again, I think you got to look at it in a way that's not meant to put Charlotte over. Charlotte is already there, so
Charlotte don't need us to put her over.
No,
Charlotte is over.
Yeah, she is.
Amazing. Okay, name five people that's more over than Charlotte Flair in the wrestling industry. I'll wait. The time is just flying by. There is not. There's not five people that's more over than Charlotte Flair. Get out of here.
And listen, I've said it before and I've gotten killed. I think Charlotte Flair is the best wrestler on the roster.
I think that she can start wrestling the men.
Yeah. And if she's not, if you disagree with me and say she's not the best, she's top five, men and women. I'm not just talking about the women's roster. Men and women. She's probably top three. I think she's number one. And as far as Seth Rollins, I know, Pete, now you're kind of looking at me. I swear, that's what I feel. Then you look at Seth Rollins. Now, Seth Rollins, he said that he doesn't think Seth Rollins is there. He thinks Seth Rollins is flat. That's how I felt about Seth Rollins. I've said it here on the show, Mark. That's how I felt about Seth. My attitude's changed after what I saw last night. For him to take that crowd that was booing him at the beginning of the match and get 15,000 fans to change their mind and attitude? How many times have you seen in wrestling history where a wrestler was getting booed at the beginning of the match and they're getting cheered at the end? I mean, that's like Stone Cold Bret Hart. Am I wrong? Was he not getting booed?
Yeah.
And then he got cheered by a standing ovation at the end of that matchup last night.
I mean, man, that match was something else. Wow. It took my breath away. And it revitalized my passion and love for wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, that was, it was stellar.
Thanks for listening. Catch us weekdays on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.